Hi, everyone. Welcome to Bech Slapped. I'm Eileen.
I'm Jordana.
We're here again.
Yes.
Week after week. The biggest news of this week is that there was a royal engagement.
Royal.
I feel like the princess of Genovia.
There's a royal engagement. It's in case any of you missed it, it's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Yes.
And first, I think in the office we were really excited.
Everyone is still really excited.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving them like our range of emotions.
Correct. So, we were really excited because it's just like the first black woman to be in the royal family, and it's like really exciting. It's progressive, and
that part is really,
really great.
Right. And she seems like she seems very like cool and pretty and
looks like she tries to give back or works with like different foundations,
woke and shit,
takes a lot of pictures hugging children. Yeah,
exactly.
But
then we watched her New York Times interview
with Harry.
I don't even know if it was New York Times posted. I don't know if it was like a New York Times interview, but we watched the interview with Harry, and like she was so annoying.
She was the worst.
It was like,
you guys have to watch it.
It made me cringe a little bit. She was super annoying. She was like, so she was talking about the engagement, and she was like, yeah, like in America, we're not like, you know, we're not as involved with like the royal family. So I didn't really know that much about him. And when someone wanted to set me up with him, the first thing I asked was just like, is he nice? Because if he wasn't nice, it just like wasn't going to work.
Is he kind?
Is he kind?
Yeah. No, that is not true. America loves the royal family. Look, this is an example. Right. Everyone is obsessed with it. Not because she's an American. Like, when we were in college and there was the royal wedding, like, we stayed up all night, like, drinking alcohol and doing other things and watching
and watching the royal wedding.
And, like, it was fun to do. And, like, that's a thing we did. If we didn't give a shit or didn't know who the royal family was, we wouldn't have done that. So, Meghan, you're full of shit. The entire time when she was, in that art, like, video.
Yeah, like, you can't talk about him. I'm sorry. Go on.
It just really pissed me off because she was, like, staring at him, like, smiling with this fake smile that was, like, oh, he's so amazing. But really, the whole time, she's just thinking, holy fuck, I'm going to be a princess. Holy shit, my parents, like, are going to be so excited. They're going to get, like, all this royal stuff. And, like, my wedding ring is, like, three diamonds.
It has the diamonds from, like, Princess Diana. Ever heard of her?
Yeah, like no. She's like, oh, no, like, I've never heard of anyone. I don't know her. Like, come the fuck on. Like, just be real. Oh, and she was like,
so you can't talk about, like, someone introducing you like you met him on Hinge. Like,
right.
I was just thinking, like, you know, I was thinking, is he nice?
Yeah.
Is he kind?
Like,
no. Like, he's the fucking prince.
He's hot.
And second of all, Harry is known for being a lot of things, but nice isn't one of them.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? He's the same guy who dressed up as a Nazi for Halloween, was running around Vegas completely naked. He's a cool guy, yeah. I think. He seems like he's a cool guy, but he's definitely not, like, the sweetest.
The kindest gentleman. Right. Like, no. And it was also annoying the way that she was talking about, like, how surprised she was. Like, oh, no, we were just roasting a chicken. Like, you were just doing, like, you know, whatever, Fresh
just
Direct.
Just a cozy Sunday, just doing Hello Fresh.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden that's one.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he proposed, like, they had to vet her. She definitely had like seven background checks.
I'm pretty sure they took like a blood sample because I looked at her Wikipedia yesterday and there was like an extensive ancestry search, one of which led her to be like, it's also said she's like kind of a distant cousin of Harry on her dad's side because he's like has some British background or something, but it's like goes back to the 1500s, so I think their kids will be okay.
Yeah, it's no Targaryen situation.
Exactly. But it was just like, she definitely had to give like a blood sample.
Yeah.
Like there's no way that was like a casual surprise.
The psychotic queen who would like just let some random American join the royal family. Like the royal family, like a few years ago had one of the kings abdicate, right? Like if I learned anything from The Crown.
Yeah, I would, a few meaning like 80 or 100 years ago, but yeah.
Still. The queen's uncle.
No, the queen's uncle. Yeah, the queen's uncle, yeah.
The queen's uncle had to like abdicate because he was like...
Because the crown wanted to marry a divorced American actress. But you know what? I mean, aside from her being really irritating, hopefully she's just like getting the hang of this whole thing and becomes less annoying. I was talking to someone about this yesterday and they were like, you think Kate's like so cool, she's actually kind of a loser too.
I don't mean it's not loser. Not I a love loser. Losers.
I'm not talking, I don't mean like a loser. Like, she's just like actually not, she's not like cool.
She's not chill.
She's not like super cool. Like, we think she is, but the difference is, I think, is that she just talks less.
Yeah.
And she like is more careful with what she says, probably because she has like been close to like the royal family for a long time. So by the time she was giving like an interview, she kind of knew what to do. And British people, I think, are just like a little more tight-lipped.
Yeah, demure.
But they were like, there's nothing like edgy about like being a royal. Like, they're much more like, it's like very cool in like the sense that you're royalty, but no one's like a hip royal, really.
But no, but Harry has always been like the cool guy, like the cool prince, because he's never going to be king. So he has like the way he can get around and do that kind of stuff. So like the fact that they had this interview and she was like smiling as if like, it was, she won the lottery. Yeah. Like, that's how it felt. And it felt so just, like, not inauthentic. And maybe, so I also, while I was, like, cringing and watching, I also thought, like, she has no, like, she must have had very little PR training for this.
No, I think they, before they had this interview, they told her exactly what to say.
I know, and she just doesn't know how. That's what
right,
I mean.
Yeah, she just gives, she just says it in a way that's, like, kind of fake seeming and, like,
fake. Ugh. Which maybe it's a good thing. Maybe she's actually, like, people who are highly PR trained to know and seem authentic on screen makes me think that maybe they're just, like, awful people in real life. So maybe the fact that she's not good on
It's also just funny because she's an actress.
Well, you think she could do it. Well, she's on Suits. Like, it's like the soap opera of the legal system.
But now
system.
She's retired from it. According to Wikipedia, she's retired from acting now that she's engaged. And she's just going to work on
There's a new season coming up. What, are they going to kill her off?
Maybe that was her last season.
She's falling down the elevator
shaft. She's now retired.
Like Dr. Drake from Ore.
Yeah, but clearly she's not that good of an actress based on her performance in this interview.
I feel like that's our main conclusion.
But I mean, I'm still excited. I'm still excited about it.
To see the wedding.
I love a royal engagement.
But okay, so that's how we feel. Don't hate us for our opinion. But
if you disagree and you think she's strongly. Amazing and you think that was like a super authentic seeming interview, please email us at slapped@betches.com. And if your email is not too long of a reaction, we might even read it on the next podcast.
Yes.
Speaking of emails that you guys have written in about previous episodes, Aileen received a
I want to encourage people to DM me.
a message. She received a message from someone who had listened to our podcast
last week.
Yeah, do you want to read it?
Yeah. So last week we were doing a Dear Betch, and someone was asking for advice because the guy that they were sort of seeing's ex was like starting to stalk her, like actually stalk, like showed up to her school and found out what her classes were and like pulled her hair, something crazy.
Pulled her like jacket or something.
Pulled
shit.
Her jacket.
Okay.
Whatever. Not attached to her body, but still a pull. So I thought that she needs to contact the police.
Right. And I said I thought that might escalate things. Let's just read this letter.
So Kelsey wrote in saying, "Hey, Aileen, I listened to the podcast and I just wanted to give you my 2 cents on the girl who's being stalked by her boyfriend's ex. Both my fiance and I went to law school, and many of our friends are public defenders who deal with similar situations. You were absolutely in the right to encourage the girl to file a police report. The repeated contact and unwanted touching gives her a case for both harassment and battery. In cases like this, you want to start building a paper trail to prove your case." Which is interesting. If the which is interesting. She didn't write that. Okay. Then she continues. "If the stalker started escalating things by filing a police report, writing down incidents, and taking screenshots of messages, you'd be protecting yourself. You are definitely not paranoid by taking steps to keep yourself safe from crazy people. Also, Jordana saying filing a police report might escalate things doesn't really make much sense. If anything, most people quit doing crazy shit once police are involved."
I have to disagree with that part. I do agree you should definitely keep a record of everything that's happening. But I think that most normal people will back off with a police report. But I think if you actually are crazy or have like mental a very issues. Large problem with like vindictive, angry tendencies, someone filing a police report against you might make you even more angry. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying like that's what I meant by that. Not that like.
Yeah. Right. But here's the thing. I see your point, though. Like, if you file to keep yourself safe, you file a police report so that the next time something like this happens, she will get arrested. It's not like the second time becomes the first time,
right?
And then the third time you die. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's you have to set some you have to have the police intervene somehow. I just think it's like very scary that this girl stalked her that hard. But anyway, I hope she's fine. whoever wrote in, I forgot her name. Sorry, I hope you're still okay. Please like let us know if you have any anything going
input
on.
Input on that kind of thing. Did you also hear Malia Obama was caught with cigarettes?
Yes.
Smoking cigarettes, making out with a guy.
Well, you told me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, power to her. She's, what, like, 19? Like go explore, do whatever kind of shit you want.
She's
like,
of legal age to smoke cigarettes.
Right, she's of legal age. She, like, is definitely of legal age to make out with a guy. She's probably, like, a little drunk. And, like, you know what? That was, like, us and probably, like, 95% of the population at, like, 19 years old.
Yeah, for
sure. Go Malia. Like,
so
I think that, and then they got a lot of, all these newspapers and publications that published this got a lot of backlash saying like we shouldn't be using her, whatever she's doing, for headlines because she's now like a private citizen.
Yeah, like she's no longer the president's daughter. She didn't choose to be the president's daughter. Like, let this girl make out with some dude. It's not like she was caught like getting a prostitute. Like, she was just like outside with the acne.
These are legal activities.
Like, just like drinking and like, I mean, not drinking. It didn't say that she was caught drinking because she's underage. She was just like...
Even if she probably is, like, who gives a shit? I mean, like, so was everyone.
I mean, she wasn't arrested is what
right.
I mean.
Yeah.
Like, she was just chilling. Like, let a girl live.
It's also like after 8 years of her dad being in the White House, probably had to watch all of her shit so intensely. So she's probably just like, I can, like, live for, like, a second.
It reminds me of that movie with Mandy Moore where she's the daughter of the first... She's, like, the first daughter. Did you ever see that one? It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cheesy. But seriously, let a girl live. That was the... wasn't that the name of our listserv in college for our sorority?
It might have been.
Yeah, let a girl live. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's read a Dear Betch.
Okay.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Dear Betches, honestly, love y'all so much. I remember reading your blog living in a sorority house years ago, and I've been obsessed ever since. I have a career-related question. I'm 25 and finished grad school and my master's last spring. I started working right away and loved it. Mid-June of last year, my husband and I decided we felt ready to have a baby. I stopped taking the pill under the impression that it would take a while for my body and hormones to regulate after being on the pill for almost 10 years. I had horrible periods and it made them more tolerable. Because everyone said that it would take a while to get pregnant after long-term use. PSA, it can happen very quickly. When I first found out I was pregnant, I immediately consulted the employee handbook to see what their maternity leave policy was. It was a small company and didn't have HR. It was the standard 12-week unpaid leave. I told my boss, owner of the company, that I was pregnant and when I was due, and everything seemed fine. When I was 26 weeks pregnant, they changed their policy and no longer gave maternity leave. And if I chose to take off time, my job was not guaranteed to still be there upon my return. They had fewer than 50 employees and therefore were not required to give maternity/medical leave. It was so fucked up, if you ask me. It was handled horribly, and I was really upset by the whole thing. So I put in notice a couple months later and quit a few weeks before I was due. Fortunately, my husband makes a very good living, and we don't have to worry about the financial aspect of all this. So flash forward to now, and I have a beautiful 5-month-old little boy. I'm feeling ready to go back to work, but I'm unsure of how to address the extended leave in the job hunting process. I've gotten so many mixed responses. Some say briefly explain it in the cover letter. Some say don't mention I'm a mom at all, because that often puts you at a disadvantage. Some say wait until the interview. So my question is, how do you think an extended leave or gap of employment should be handled? Sincerely, new mom Betch. Okay, before we get into any of these things, I think we discussed this yesterday. There's a huge myth that, like, if you get off your birth control and you've been on it for a long time, that it takes you, like, several months to get pregnant, when that's not the case at all.
Yeah, like that's a made-up thing.
I've heard that from several people who, like, think that it's going to take them a while. Like, if you think that as soon as you get off your birth control or you stop taking it, like, regularly, you're at a huge risk of getting pregnant.
Yeah. And, like, even if you just, like, miss a pill or something, you can still get pregnant.
Right.
So, like, it shows that it's not a thing. Like, I know many people who are currently have a child, and the way that they got pregnant was because they
just stopped taking the pill,
and they were like, oh, shit, it happened so fast. I thought it would at least take 3 months. Like, no, that's not common. Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
Like, so just letting you all know that
our moms are both OBGYNs.
Yeah, both of them. And that's how we're
pseudo experts in birth control.
We're not experts.
Well, we come from the spawn of experts.
Yeah.
So we've yeah. Anyway, that's number one. Just remember.
Number two, I totally agree that it's so fucked up that this company changed their policy while you were pregnant. That's Like that, I would like sue them.
Clearly,
first
like
of
about
all.
You.
Yeah, like
I don't think you can sue because like you're allowed to change your policy. It's just like a fucked up thing, and it's probably bad for like the rest of the employees who are now seeing that like they would do something like that.
Yeah, you can't sue them for that.
No, you can. A company is entitled to change their policy at any point.
No, but like there's FMLA laws like that you can totally sue them. Like they,
I don't think you can.
They're not giving you. You have to have 3 months leave. You have to have.
Yeah, I mean, that means that, yeah, I think that means that they can rehire you, right? Wait, let's summarize this. The issue was that it originally said that it was standard 12-week unpaid leave,
yes.
Right? And then she said they changed it so that what happened?
When I was 26 weeks pregnant, they changed their policies, no longer giving me maternity leave. And if I chose to take off time, my job
it
was
wasn't
not
guaranteed.
Whereas the standard law says that you have 3 months where they cannot give up your job.
But maybe maybe that's for employment over
maybe that's also over 50
people. I would maybe speak to a lawyer. I don't think you can definitely sue. I think you just see someone
if that's legal. Unemployment lawyer.
Right. To see if that's legal or not.
Yeah, it's fucked up. But that's not her question anyway. Just to say that Betches has a very, very good maternity policy and we would never do this to anyone. But anyway, so what would you do? I wouldn't lie to people about like employers. Just say that they changed their policy while you were pregnant and you didn't agree with the way that management handled it, and you didn't, and like that's not a job that you could stand with, or like a company that you could stand with, and that's really it. And you're looking for like a good opportunity.
I think thing to keep in mind, having had that experience, is looking for a company with very like family friendly policies, because that's clearly like you clearly value that.
Yeah.
And you have a family, and so I think that it's important to. It's important because when you're looking for a job, it shouldn't just be about how much you're paid, or you know, like what you're actually doing, what your responsibilities are. Like you should look at the whole culture of the office.
Yeah.
And part of that culture is like how they, you know, treat people who have families. And not, I mean, it's every business is their own business. They're entitled to like have their own policies and value their own values and have the culture that they want. It's important to just make sure that matches yours. I don't think like necessarily a company.
It's like dating.
Yeah, a company that has a bad like maternity leave policy, like they're entitled to have that, but it's like then they won't attract people who might be really like good, talented,
like ambitious
people,
young
who,
women
right,
who plan to have
who are
a family
interested in that,
future.
But maybe they don't care about that, and that's okay. Like it really just depends. You know, it's like dating. It's about like the company and you being a match. So if they're gonna have issues with you having kids, you shouldn't lie to them about it, because you're not gonna give away your kid if you get the job.
Yeah.
Like you should be totally upfront, and if they're a company that's like cool with that, then you'll probably want to work for them more anyway.
Totally. So so you're getting mixed messages. Some say briefly explain it in the cover letter. Some say I wouldn't explain it in the cover letter at all. I would focus on the cover letter saying like why you're good for this job and why you're passionate about whatever you're applying for. But maybe in the interview, they're going to 100% ask you why were you only here for XYZ, and just explain to them and put a positive spin on it. Say like, I don't want to work for a company who has these types of policies, and it's not something I want to stand for. And if this company that you're, if you're afraid they're not going to give you the job because of that, I would just say like I would reason and say that they're not the right fit for you. So I think nowadays I've read that like millennials aren't really looking for jobs that pay you a good amount. It's just something that can be fulfilling, and you feel passionate for their mission and their cause. So, and that has a lot to do with the management. And so again, it's like it's a matching process. If you feel like they're a good fit for you, you should consider it, but
right,
it shouldn't be the other way
and around. When you explain, just explain that, you know, you did take some time off, you did have a child, but you're like ready. That it just, I wouldn't even make it about the kid, just be like, I personally am ready to get back to work. Like I really want to, you know,
yeah,
I don't know what you do for a living, but
no one's gonna fault
your
you passion
right
family.
As long as they also feel though that you're ambitious and
yeah,
want to work really hard, because
totally,
that's still very important.
I wouldn't harp on the problem, and I would just like really
stress
focus,
that you're
focus
how like
on the future.
Talented you are.
Yeah, totally. Okay, let's do another one.
Okay.
Hey, Betches, sorry in advance for the lengthiness, but I wanted to get to the bottom of this issue and avoid open-ended answers. I've been dating my good friend turned boyfriend for a little under 2 years now. It's a very solid relationship, and I could easily see myself marrying the guy in a few years. Generally, my sister likes my boyfriend, but in the past has complained during our honeymoon phase that he's too clingy, mushy with me sometimes. In retrospect, I get how that's annoying AF to be around, especially since at the time she was in the midst of a dramatic breakup. But now time has passed and she never wants him around when she's with me. Keep in mind, we live a few hours away from each other. She just graduated from college and is living back at home while she figures out her next step. And I've been working my corporate job in the big city for 2 years.
Big city.
The hills. We don't see each other too often, so I appreciate and understand the importance of having quality time with just the two of us. However, my boyfriend is obviously a big part of my life, so it's awkward when she's adamant about him not coming around at all when she visits. It's gotten to the point where she got annoyed when I asked if she wanted to include him in dinner plans one night during her last visit. It's not so much about me not being able to see my boyfriend for a few days when she's around. It's more so the reasoning behind her not wanting to see him so badly. I understand to a certain degree why it would be annoying for her to see how committed my BF and I are to each other since she's single, and I promise we're not in that annoying honeymoon phase anymore. But on the other hand, I want my sister to be supportive of my relationship and care enough to show at least a little interest in seeing my boyfriend when she visits. I'm really close to her, so her reaction to my relationship has really has an impact on me. What's your take on the situation? Again, we're super close, so I have no problem gently asking her what our deal is, but at the same time, our time together is limited, so I would hate to open a can of worms that would make her mad at me. Also thought I should add that my BF respects my time alone with my sister, but I can tell it's that he gets weirded out at how he can't be around when she's with me. Please help me, sad sister. Oh, this is like sad.
Yeah, I think, I
reminds
mean,
me of The Bachelor when she's like, well, I have limited time with her, so I don't want to bring up drama.
One thing to remember is that it's not, I think it's not personal and it's not anything about your boyfriend. It's clearly like your sister's own issue with like her own shit and like how being around like a happy couple makes her feel about herself.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not personal. I think you kind of get that. I'm not getting like a thing that you like feel like
self-aware,
right, that you're feeling like hurt by like her not liking him. I think we're kind of you kind of get that it's not about him.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important. I mean, I don't know, what do you think?
I do think that she should just really like go about the conversation. I think it's obviously worth spending your time to just get this off both of your chests. Like, yeah, you don't want to open a can of worms, but like this is going to keep building up and up. And like you're saying you're going to get married to him. And then what's going to happen? She's not going to want to be in your wedding. And that's going to affect the rest of your life because then she's not like involved in that process. And that's like super sad. And that can take a toll on your guys' relationship in the future. Like, I think it's really important to spend time on like fixing it now.
Right.
So I think that she should bring it up. Tell her how it makes her feel, not like why she thinks that she's bad or mean or this.
Right.
It's about how it makes you feel. Just like, this is like a serious relationship. It's really important for me, for you guys to get along. Please tell me if there's something that I can do to make this better. And if she freaks out, like just say, I'm here to have like a really calm, like productive conversation. I want you to be happy. I want us to be happy as sisters. But this is really taking a toll on like my emotions.
Right. And if you're worried about like opening up a can of worms while you're still with her and you've limited time, I would just do it towards the end of one of her visits, because like then you can have a good time and then at the end be like, hey, like, yeah, I had so much fun with you, like I really like want to talk about this thing that's bothering me. And then also I think like a good way to get like someone who feels bad about themselves because they're not in a relationship when they're like around you and you are in a relationship is like be like, your sister's single, be like, oh, like maybe he has some friends that I could like introduce you to, or maybe like, you know, like you can sort of like see what he can like bring to the table for her, because people are inherently selfish and they want to know what like what's in it for them. You could be like, oh, like, I don't know what your boyfriend's name is, but he has an extra ticket. Like, do something like that makes him just like a little more endearing to her.
Yeah.
So she's like feels like she's
like give her some perks.
Yeah. Some perks like, oh, he has this cute friend you should meet.
Yeah.
Or like, He got us these tickets. You could buy the tickets and just pretend he got them.
Yeah.
So something where it's like, oh, like it seems like he really is making an effort, and he like has some things that she might, if she came around, like might benefit from hanging out with him.
And here's the thing: the good part about like putting like your emotions on the table is that if there was something that was bothering her that you couldn't even imagine, she would bring it up, because like you're bringing it up, and she'll say, well, actually it's not the fact that like blah blah blah, but it's this, and he does this, or I didn't like how you managed our relationship. Maybe she's mad about something else, you know what I mean, that you maybe you can't even think of. And that's also highly probable. So I would just, I really stress like about getting your issues sorted out before they blow up.
I agree. And then when you do have this conversation, I would bring him around in like little doses,
yeah,
and then like gradually increase it. Yeah. But I can see how, like, if you're visiting your sister, you kind of want to hang out with her.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I get both sides of the thing. Even if she were in a relationship, it's, like, kind of just the kind of a thing where it's, like, you enjoy your quality time with someone. You don't necessarily always want them around. But not being able to have them around at all seems absurd.
Yeah. Okay, let's play games.
Yes, games.
Okay. Okay, ready, Jordana? I'm ready. Shoot, party, or... No, wait. Shoot, party with, or be BFF with... That was really bad. I'm sorry. Cool. Okay. Okay. Ready, Jordana?
I'm ready.
Okay. Shoot, party with, or be BFFs with Queen Elizabeth, Kate Middleton, or Meghan Marksy. Marksy, bitch.
Okay. I think be BFF with Kate Middleton.
Okay. Actually. Even though we don't know how she actually is.
Yeah. Okay. I actually might party with Kate Middleton. I might be BFF with the queen because she's got some shit that she's seen. She's seen some things. And after watching this interview, I've got to get rid of Meghan. I'm sorry.
I feel like Kate Middleton doesn't know how to party anymore. Like, she was really cool to party with back in the day, but now she's, like, going to be the queen one day.
I feel like she's down to, like, drink some wine and like, some
blunt. Oh, right. I forgot that this is what partying is like at 28.
Right. Oh, you mean, like, go clubbing with? I don't think any of them are going to be particularly fun now to go clubbing with.
Yeah, that's true. Me... Kate, I would want to party with Kate Middleton in her days, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not the question, obviously. I agree being BFFs with the queen because she's seen shit.
Yeah.
I really want to know, like, all the things she's seen. I'm excited for the second season of The Crown. Did you watch the first one?
I didn't watch it.
The girl who plays her is so good. Like, it makes you really feel that, like, she is the queen, but, like, younger.
It's very good. Watch it. I feel like I watched one episode and then I, like,
it's got very
bored
slow.
A little bit.
It's very slow, but, it like, you have to watch with subtitles, so you're, like, reading and, like, taking in culture.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I always watch everything with subtitles, except, like, comedy. Because then it ruins the joke, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, give me one.
Give me one. Give it to me. Okay, so this week's episode of Curb, Larry gives Lorelai Gilmore a sexual non-disclosure form. Which I thought was very funny.
Did you see the other guy who is also from the Gilmore Girls? The assistant or like the... No, not the assistant.
Shucker?
No. No, it's so funny. No, the agent. Like, Lin-Manuel's agent is the hotel manager at the hotel.
Oh, I did not notice that. That's funny, yeah. Though.
He has like the French accent on the
show. I hope to be wealthy enough one day to have my own personal oyster shucker.
Oyster shucker, agreed.
Yeah, okay, so he makes her sign a sexual non-disclosure form, which I thought was very funny, and I wondered, would I ever make someone sign that, or would I agree to sign that? So, would you ever make someone sign a
sexual non-disclosure,
or sign one yourself if someone asked for one?
I'm not sure. If someone asked me about to sign a sexual non-disclosure, I would never sign anything on the spot, first of all.
I would have my lawyer
look that over because, like, what? Because I always think of, like, this how I might die in these situations. And, like, what if you can't disclose if, like, he assaults you, right? I would definitely make sure. But if it has something to do with just being kinky, I feel like it'd be fine.
It's like a sexual prenup.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, I guess it makes sense because I guess if you're, like, a celebrity.
Yeah.
Why you would do that.
Like, they always do that kind of shit.
They have them sign a form.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever give someone a form?
Well, it depends what kind of shit I'm trying to get into. Like, I don't know. Like, it depends. No one gives a shit what I'm doing these days. But, like, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? That's what I'm saying. Like, who knows? Let's say, like years from now.
Yeah.
Barbara Walters or someone.
Like,
I'm sure she has a sex form.
Like, an old sexual encounter of mine.
Yeah. I mean, it's too late for those. But,
yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, I would rather a different type of non-disclosure. Like, if you go to a party and, like, people are doing crazy shit, I would rather have people sign a non-disclosure for that kind of conduct.
Right.
So that you're not, like, liable for anything that happens in your house or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, like the Lala Kent thing in Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where she basically, like, I think it was at a Coachella house and she made everyone sign something,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. I would do that. I don't really care about, like, the sexual non-disclosures because I don't think I'm that crazy. But if someone were to give it to me, I would... Ladies, always get your lawyers to look over any type of contract that anyone gives you.
It's like a sexual prenup.
Yeah.
If the relationship goes bad, here's what you are and aren't allowed to do.
It's kind of true. It's just no money.
Yeah. Would you rather...
What about you?
What?
What about you?
I think I would... I think if I had it reviewed, I wouldn't mind signing it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think if someone asked me to sign them, especially if they weren't famous, I would wonder what the fuck they were, like, trying to do.
Yeah, right, right. That's what I mean.
Like, that they, like, have this on, like... Right.
It's sort of like Fifty Shades of Grey.
Right. It's like, the contract in itself would make me wonder about the person. But, like, the actual contract, I don't really mind. If, like, everyone in the world had, like, an agreement where they, like, weren't sharing anything, like, I'd be fine with that. But I think the act of them, like, having this...
Yeah. The best part of Curb, though, is that when it, like, totally backfired and now she's going around calling him Larry Longballs.
Yeah, that was great. I thought they broke up last episode when he, like, fucked up her son's
admission.
No, they
were still together.
She left the brunch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they're back and now they're... That,
she looks kind of weird. Does she, like, just have a baby or something?
I don't know. She's dating Peter Krause. He's so hot.
She was.
Are they married?
For death. No.
I have no idea.
They've been married for a while.
I'm not sure. He's great.
I also don't know. Okay. Would you rather marry a British royal or an American Kennedy or Obama?
Like American, like royalty, which is essentially like sort of Kennedy. Like, I feel like political.
Just not. I would never marry into a Kennedy. Not that anyone's asking, but
because of the Kennedy
because
curse?
Of the conspiracies. Yes. I couldn't deal with that. I would never take a plane.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like the American political like families, which are kind of like American royalty, they do more like ambitiously, like the, like all the royal family, right? Yeah, and they're and no, like they actually like you know what I mean. They have to be very smart, like to be president. Like, you gotta like kind of like know shit.
Okay,
like to be in the royal family, literally all you have to do is just kind of be mm-hmm. born. And right. you don't even make any decisions about parliament or like
that's
anything
why I would
like
rather be in that.
You have like no power. Yeah, I think it's like more fun to be a royal, more impressive to be like a Kennedy or an Obama.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, who gives a shit?
we're writing a career book about ambitions.
I know.
Who gives a shit though, right?
But being a royal sounds so fun. Like it just sounds so much fun.
It does. You might have to quit your lucrative acting career.
Okay, so I was recently driving in the city, and I saw this huge line, like, around, like, a whole entire avenue block in line for, like, some Downton Abbey expo. Like, it was
New York?
Funny. Yes, it was so funny. I'm just telling you, all these people want to be royals. They want to know what it was like.
It's very elusive.
I want to...
You can only...
Markle knows. Did you see the tweet? Like, wait, there was a really funny tweet. Hold on, I can find it for you. I'm going to find it. Hold on. It was basically... 1 second. Oh my god, where is it? I'm gonna find it. Oh, okay. So, Emma Tyler at Emma Stone Tyler tweeted, "Meghan Markle and I went to the same college, yet she's spending her day taking engagement pictures with a prince while I just had to Febreze myself in the office bathroom." I feel like that's how everyone feels right now. Like, just like, oh, I guess I'll just stay here.
Yeah.
Eating leftovers.
Well, she just found herself. She just found herself a regular nice guy.
Ugh, yeah. He's kind. At least he's kind.
That's the only thing she was looking for.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Anyway. This has been your episode of Betch Slapped.
Very exciting episode of Betch Slapped. Please tell all of your friends to follow us. You can listen to Betch Slapped on literally anything where you find anywhere you find podcasts.
And email us at slapped@betches.com.
Yes. Definitely email us. And definitely email us like about like follow-ups, because we really like to get those and like talk about them, because it really shows that you guys are engaged and we're really interested in what you have to say. So, yay.
Yeah, but email us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Email us. Okay. Bye.
Bye.